Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
And finally, new rule, if Halloween is too much for your fragile sensibilities and you're worried about seeing someone wearing something that's on the forbidden costume list, just stay the fuck home. Every year we go through this bullshit. Lists of costumes you better not wear lest a night of irreverent dress-up spiral into something that resembles fun. Here's an idea, clickbait websites. I won't tell you how to harvest and sell my personal data, and you don't tell me what I can wear on Halloween. Because Halloween is supposed to be outrageous. It's a festival of the sacrilegious and a celebration of the grotesque, from zombies to ghouls to bobbing for apples and other people's saliva. Yet, every year there's a new list of offensive things we shouldn't do on the day that's all about being offensive. You know what I want to cancel? November 1st, All Scolds Day. When the good people announce which costumes the bad people wore. Buzzkill, has a list of 23 costumes they're literally begging you not to wear. Of course, this year, the number one no-no is serial killer, cannibal, and Netflix sensation Jeffrey Dahmer. eBay has already banned selling it because otherwise it would be impossible to find a blonde wig and aviator glasses. Simone Biles tweeted, "Put the Jeffrey Dahmer costumes back in the closet. We ain't having it." Who's we? What's with the we? Who died and made you the great pumpkin? I'm so tired of a handful of emotional hemophiliacs on social media telling us what we can't do on Halloween. And by the way, please put drugs in my candy. Listen to these other verboten costumes on stupid lists this year, including Queen Elizabeth, because it's too soon. Of course, don't even think about characters outside of your race. And no genies, because genies were slaves, okay. No sexy schoolgirls, no Playboy bunnies. No celebrities accused of pedophilia, including Elvis. You can't dress up as Elvis? That's an entire industry. No zombie versions of deceased celebrities. Well, there goes my zombie Angela Lansbury idea. No unhoused person, what we used to call a hobo, the default costume of every kid in history. No one with an eating disorder, so goodbye skeletons. And no transphobic costumes, because if kids want to see drag queens, they can go to Story Hour. Listen to this. No Putin, no Trump, no anything related to the Will Smith Oscar slap. No Johnny Depp, and of course Amber Heard is out, no shit. And nothing related to vaccines or COVID or monkeypox. So have fun, kids, and let your imagination soar. Can I tell you something, kids? These are all great costumes. Listen to me. I'm your last connection to fun. You should wear all of them. In fact, combine them if you want. Have the queen shit in Johnny's bed. Have Will Smith smacking a hobo. Kevin Spacey hitting on a mariachi band. Jeffrey Dahmer is the perfect Halloween costume. What is scarier than a guy who fucks you, kills you, and eats you, not necessarily in that order? For fuck's sake, it's Halloween, which is not just a fun holiday, it's a necessary psychic release. Yes, societies going back thousands of years knew that you had to have some release valve on the calendar to flirt with the macabre and let the demons out to role play so they wouldn't come out later for real. Mexico has Day of the Dead, Japan has Obon, Haitians have Fete Gaudet. It's not a coincidence that Carnival comes right before Lent and Halloween right before All Saints Day, much the way getting blown at a bachelor party comes before the wedding. You know, I find it so interesting. You would think that a Handmaid's Tale costume would be acceptable since it derives from a completely woke-approved show that condemns the patriarchy. Buzzkill says no Handmaid's Tale costume either because it hits a little too close to home right now. Okay, this is the life philosophy of Zillennials. Things that are interesting might also contain something which could cause a moment of discomfort, so ban it all. It's not your fault, kids. Your parents ruined you by overprotecting you, and now you're these assholes. And that is the craziest part of all this. Being irreverent, unclenched, and playful should be the province of the young, but it's not. Boomers are supposed to be the get-off-my-lawn crowd, but when someone in a problematic costume shows up at your door, it's literally Gen Z telling them to get off my lawn, except it's not even your lawn because you live at your parents' house.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, October 31st, 2022. 8 days till the beginning of the end. And if you watched 60 Minutes last night, yeah, it's about over. It's about over. Deal with that later. Elon Musk hasn't owned Twitter for even a week, and he's already fucking around. He shared a baseless conspiracy theory on Twitter about the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband and then ended up deleting it, but a lot of people got the screenshot. And what is he alleging here? Hold on. Oh, yeah, that Nancy Pelosi's husband actually was out at a gay bar that night and left with a guy at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that was the guy who attacked him in the midst of some sort of anal adventure. Of course, this is 100% made up. It doesn't even match up with the evidence from the crime scene at the condo or house or whatever you want to call where they live. I am so glad that I'm not on Twitter. I was on Twitter for about a month, about 10 years ago, and it was a nightmare situation. And then I started thinking about it and going, it's bad enough that Facebook allows people to just, you know, jump on your shit and just insult you and make ridiculous accusations and just say nasty stuff and call you an idiot and all that sort of stuff. At least you know who it is. With Twitter, it's all the same stuff, but you don't even know who it is. And now Elon fucking Musk. Wow. In one of the strangest stories I've seen in a while, Dolly Parton is putting together some sort of album. And a long time ago, she covered Stairway to Heaven, and it was ridiculous, as you might expect. And people love Dolly Parton. She's one of the most popular celebrities, popular people in the world, certainly in this country. It's not that she hasn't done stupid shit, but now she's trying to get Robert Plant and Jimmy Page to work with her on some Stairway to Heaven project. It's just goofy enough to happen, you know? Just goofy enough to happen. Kanye West? I'm just starting to suspect that maybe he's not all there. Last week he made comments about George Floyd. Well, he apologized about that, and he said now he knows how it feels to have a knee on his neck. He also refused, though, to take back his comments about the Jews. Sources say he could face a financial crisis within months. He went from something like $1.2 billion to a net worth of about $400 million overnight. And people who watch this sort of stuff say that, you know, might even get worse for him. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. All right, we got your obligatory Halloween stuff here today. If you didn't know, Halloween originated in Ireland, and some of the customs there include eating barmbrack, which is a traditional fruit cake, lighting bonfires, and setting off fireworks. In Germany, it's tradition for people to hide their knives on Halloween night. The idea is to prevent returning spirits from getting injured. That makes a lot of sense. Americans used to celebrate the holiday by sending Halloween cards. In the early 1900s, Halloween cards were about as popular as Christmas cards. The Potato Company, Potatoes USA, claims people have started a new tradition of handing out potatoes for Halloween instead of candy. That's a good way to get a dirty look from an eight-year-old and a broken window, probably. A neighborhood in the Michigan city of Wyandotte has canceled Halloween trick-or-treating because of a massive roach infection. The city says it's not their fault. They just discovered a roach problem in an abandoned house that's so intense that they need to keep people from walking through the neighborhood to prevent further roach migration by roaches grabbing onto kids' costumes. It's Halloween. It's supposed to be scary stuff, and that's pretty freaky. There's also concern that even if the trick-or-treaters were to kill some of the roaches by stepping on them, their eggs could survive and be tracked all over the neighborhood. You got shit like that going on? Now it's starting to make sense that somebody would come up with the idea of trying to kidnap the governor, right? I have a very close friend who is deep inside the inner workings of Washington University, the medical school. And a couple of years ago, she said, we're like maybe 5 to 7 years away from having a cure for Alzheimer's. And about once a year, you hear a little rumbling coming along that's probably true. But then you get something like this, and it's like, could it be? Could it be? A study in Australia found that picking your nose might cause Alzheimer's. A specific type of bacteria that's been linked to plaques has been linked to Alzheimer's patients' brains, and they think that it might get in through your nose. Over the weekend, Saturday Night Live was magnificent and displayed, as far as I'm concerned, some of the best writing that they have displayed in recent years. It was a very, very well-written and tight show. And then there was Weekend Update.
A new study finds that during the pandemic, students' math scores dropped by almost 10%. Wow, so more than half. The world's largest timber-towered suspension bridge has opened in Michigan. For now, said beavers.
Police in Queens were searching for a suspect who hijacked a bus and then immediately crashed it into a utility pole. Okay, so we know it's a woman.
That's great. Virgin Australia is trying to get people to choose the middle seat by enrolling everyone who sits in those seats a chance to win over $200,000 in prizes. Not to be outdone, Spirit Airlines is offering a free bag of carrots if you sit in the bathroom.
Police in England are now using specially trained dogs to detect semen at crime scenes. This replaces the old method of detecting semen, slipping on it.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You realize daylight saving time kicks in next weekend? That's not that. We're not happy about it. Every year, the politicians say they're going to do something about it because nobody wants it. And they say they're going to do something, and they just never, ever even get around to it. So that's it. So you got a week left of decent daylight. And it's going to be a hell of a week, too. Way about like 25 degrees above normal this week in the 70s. Pretty much every day starting tomorrow. Blues trying to break a 4-game losing streak. Today they'll make the announcement about the resumption of the franchise, the St. Louis Battle Hawks. That's coming today. World Series Game 1 Friday night was fantastic. The Phillies got down 5-0 and then came back and tied it. A good chunk of the game was played as a 5-5 tie. And then the Phillies come back and win it in extra innings. They're just basically saying, as we heard the announcers talk about how if Philadelphia could even imagine winning one game in the series against the heavily favored Astros, it would be such a big story. And of course, that's exactly what happened. But now things are even up. But that game Friday night didn't end until, well, it was after midnight in the Central Time Zone, but after 1 o'clock in the morning in the East. And this is one of the things I've been harping on. I've been banging on this same note for, I was going to say years, but it's actually decades. Starting these fucking games too late. If they want to, if the Major League Baseball people are like, we don't understand, man. The game is not as popular as it used to be, and the TV ratings are down. Yeah, because the game's on at 1 o'clock in the morning. And what is that doing to the cultivation of younger fans? Just remember, the Super Bowl starts at 5:30. They're starting these World Series games almost 3 hours later than that. Oh, yeah, yeah, but they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Just for fun, the story that dominated the news, including the 24-hour news channels on Friday, because right after we published the podcast on Friday is when we started hearing all the details about Nancy Pelosi's husband. Like I said, you turn on the TV, it was impossible not to end up with basically wall-to-wall coverage of what was going on as little drips and drabs of the story started being released. And every 3 or 4 hours, they'd add a little something, a little more detail. You'd find out what was going on. Just for fun, on Friday night, I recorded Tucker Carlson's show on Fox News. And you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. He did not do the story. There was one little blurb halfway through when they break for a news update, and the news guy dedicated about 8 seconds to it. But Tucker Carlson never even mentioned it. Is it possible to be surprised and not surprised at the same time? And now we got these vigilante poll watchers. Poll watchers. These people who, for some reason, feel like they're going to show up in military gear and stand on the periphery of the polling places and do what? I don't know. And then these goofy candidates who, like, yeah, are you going to believe the outcome of the election next Tuesday? Well, if I win, yes. What about if you lose? Well, I'm not going to lose. I'm going to win. And yes, then I will believe it. How about if you lose? Let me tell you about the Biden criminal family. It's like, okay, gotcha. Remind me to stay the hell out of South Korea. People are just wandering around sort of like a Halloween type thing. And it's all young people, you know, kids in their 20s and 30s primarily. And somebody hears that some major celebrity in some restaurant, bar or something. So they estimate roughly 100,000 people all of a sudden, like in this giant mob, start descending upon this place. Now, just think about it. That's Busch Stadium. A sellout crowd is, I think, 47,000. So double that and then add another 8,000 people or so. That's how many people were descending on an area the size of the Central West End. 150 dead. And we've seen these crushes before. I mean, people obviously remember the Who concert in Cincinnati. And just to show you how weird things have gotten, experts in, I don't know how you become an expert in bodies being crushed, but they say if you're ever in that situation and you get knocked to the ground, fall on your left side and keep your hands and your arms close to your body. That adds extra protection to your lungs so that you can continue to breathe, and it also protects your heart a little bit better. And if you're saying, well, where were the police? The police, they say, were disproportionately assigned to some sort of political rally on the other side of town there in South Korea, whatever city it was. And they thought, I don't know what they thought. They thought what? 100,000 people jammed into a little area wasn't going to be a problem. Everything seems to be ending in violence. You have Michigan State, and a couple of Spartan goons from Michigan State. Basically, it's like an entire team against two guys in the tunnel, roughing guys up. There's going to be fines and suspensions and all sorts of stuff. At this point, if there's some way that you can bet on the Super Bowl this early, and I'm sure there is because you can bet on anything, Buffalo and Philadelphia seem to be looking like the teams you're going to see in the Super Bowl in February. The offense of the Buffalo Bills last night being compared to the 99 Rams, that's pretty high fucking praise. But I will say this. We had another situation last night where people on the sidelines were getting wasted because players are playing the game of football, which sometimes requires players to be running out of bounds or being pushed out of bounds or just at some very high rate of speed, having some, you know, 250-pound linebacker running at full speed and being forced out of bounds. And you have all these people lining the sidelines who are getting wasted. And it does beg the question, who are all of those people? Do you ever look on the sidelines? Obviously, there's people related to the team, and you got water boys, and you got doctors, and then you got the network people and the radio people, and you got to have some NFL representation and the officials and stuff like that. But that constitutes about 50 people on each side of the sidelines. But when you look, there's like 300 people on the sidelines, and you're like, well, who are all of them? And they can't be that important, obviously, because when's the last time you're watching a football game and one of these hundreds of people standing on the sideline were called into action for some reason? I don't remember ever watching a football game where they had to stop the game and one of these hundreds of people where the officials point to him and go, yeah, we need you right now. It's like, no, you don't. I almost got run over by a vehicle on the sidelines once back when the Rams were in town. We were down on the field doing something. It might have been when we were giving away the house. We gave away a house at halftime once. And I'm standing on the sidelines. It was one of those situations where there was a play like on the Rams' own, on their own 20-yard line. And it was like a 75-yard pass play or something. It was all the way down to the other end of the field. And there is a giant truck with this structure on it. And at the top of it is a guy running a sideline camera. So the director, when something like this happens, you have a play go from one end of the field to the other end of the field, and the director's like, all right, roving camera, get down there. And this guy hit the gas on this thing, and I was standing there, and it was like they didn't even care that I was standing in their way. And I had to jump out of the way. If I'd been looking the other direction for some reason, they would have killed me. They would have run right over me. Maybe it was their plan all along. The Rams were never very fond of me. That's not true. They hated me. This is a true story, and this shows you just how petty people can be. The Rams Radio Network, the flagship station back then, was KLOU 103.3 in St. Louis. And I was working there at the time, doing the morning show with Karen, and Schlanger was there at the time, and I forget, we had some other people in and out. And it turns out two of the influential, shall we say, support people for the Rams, the PR director, a guy by the name of Rick Smith, and then there was Jack Snow. And both of them were son of a bitches. And I know that for a lot of people, it's like, what? What did you say about Jack Snow? We thought he was this swell guy. Every time I saw him on TV, he was just talking about how great the Rams are. Yeah, that's what he was. He was also completely full of shit. He didn't like the idea of women in the press box. And I know for a fact that once the female producer of the Rams radio broadcasts was in his crosshairs, and she was doing a fine job, she wasn't doing anything wrong, he just didn't like the idea of women in the press box. So once, at halftime, he just sort of took off and deliberately hid so that when the game resumed after the halftime break, he wasn't in the booth. And the producer, this woman, this friend of mine, is running around going, where's Jack Snow? Where's Jack Snow? They finally find him, bring him in, and he's like, what did you do? Why didn't you tell me the game was resuming? And he did it. It was a setup. He did it on purpose. Jack Snow was a mean cocksucker. And I'll tell you something else. You know, he used to do this show on what was at the time USA Cable, which was a station that nobody watched for any reason that I can think of outside of, I think they had reruns of the Golden Girls on in the afternoon. But he would fly to Vegas every Friday and record this show, which was billed as some sort of like a NFL preview weekend with Jack Snow. But it wasn't at all. It wasn't a NFL preview. It was a betting show. And Jack Snow would sit in the middle of the panel. He had like two guys on his left, two guys on his right. All of these guys looked like somebody would be working security at the Bellagio. Actually, that's not even accurate. They actually look more like when the police show up at the Newark airport and they open a trunk of a car that's been sitting there for a month and they find a body with a single gunshot to the head. That's what all of these guys looked like. And the whole thing was about, I was 9-0 with my picks last week. I got a play for you. This is, you're going to get rich. Just go to my 1-800 number. And, you know, it's that kind of crap. And then Jack Snow would fly home and do the Rams games on Sunday. Very, very, very shady operation. But there's this guy, Rick Smith. And those of you who are Rams fans will remember this. Every time Dick Vermeil or Mike Martz was being interviewed after practice, and you'd watch the news, and it's like, you know, and the Rams are getting ready for blah, blah, blah. Our reporter was there, and they get the shot, and there's Martz or somebody being interviewed by the entire media group. And he would stand there and answer a bunch of questions. And in the background, you would see the Rams training facility out in Earth City. But there would always be this guy with a silver hair combed straight back standing in the shot right behind Martz or Vermeil. That was Rick Smith, the director of media relations. And he would stand there in the shot, always looking behind Martz or Vermeil, like he was expecting some sort of attack from the rear. And it's like, why is he in the shot? What is he doing? What's he looking for? And it would be the same thing over and over. Well, this guy was a really mean prick, and he hated me, get this, because he liked oldies. And we were doing a morning show, which was about 50% music, 50% us. And he didn't like that. He didn't like it at all. He just wanted to hear the music. So he actually specifically mentioned my name to the Rams organization and to the people at the radio station. He said, well, don't give that Corcoran guy, don't give him a press pass. And he was mad because he wanted to just hear music in the morning, and that's not what we did. We did, like I said, we did about 50-50. And for that reason, he was denying me access to the ballpark to see the Rams games. You think I'm making this shit up? I'm not. But here's the best part. For decades, this guy Rick Smith had been collecting football memorabilia. I don't mean just memorabilia. I'm talking about awesome stuff, like a brand new shiny helmet with an autograph from, you know, Marshall Faulk, future Hall of Famer, and just dozens and dozens of artifacts signed and authenticated by big, big NFL stars. And his idea was what he was going to do. He had been collecting this stuff for decades, kept it in his house in Southern California, and he figures, okay, instead of a traditional retirement account, what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect hundreds of these A-list pieces of memorabilia, stuff that is going to be very, very valuable, and that's going to be my retirement account, and we'll do it all in cash, so no taxes. And what a great plan, right? So he was always compiling this stuff, like I said, for decades, and keeping it in his house in Southern California. And right before his retirement from the Rams organization, his house in Southern California burned to the ground. Whoops! And again, I use the phrase, couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
One of the things I like most about Halloween is that babes always wear costumes that make them look really excellent. All right? Okay? So Garth and I have compiled a list of the top 10 excellent babe costumes. Top 10 excellent babe costumes! Okay, all right, okay.
Okay.
Okay,
here we go.
All right, the number 10 excellent babe costume is going as a cat, all right? Form-fitting cat suits. Papa likes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number 9 is a nurse.
Yes. Call Randy Mantooth.
Rampart, I need help. Okay. Right. Number 8, Nancy Culp, who played Miss Hathaway on TV's The Beverly Hillbillies.
Ew, Miss Hathaway?
Yeah, well, I just sort of put her in there to clear the palate, you know, sort of like, you know, like a chick sorbet, you know? So, appreciate the other ones. All right, number 7, Pebbles Flintstone, all right? Bam, bam.
All right,
number 6, an Indian girl. Okay, all right.
All right. Sounded real.
Yeah, it got me scared. All right. Okay, number 5, a baseball player. You know, there's something about when a girl dresses like a baseball player because, in her attempt at masculinity, that which is woman is underscored. Okay, number right. four, private school girl.
Whoa, those plaid skirts.
Ow! Ow! Whoa. Ow! Ow!
Whoa.
All
Ouch.
Right, okay. Number three, French maid. All right. Whoop, there we go. A may we. All right. Okay, number two, Playboy bunny. I am thanking you. And finally, the number one excellent babe costume. Going as Heather Locklear.
Yeah. She's magically babelicious.
She's a babeaholic, and I should know I'm a licensed babetician. All right.
That's right.
Now, I've always liked that. But there was a guy by the name of Jeff Richards. He was only with Saturday Night Live for 2 years, and he just never really caught on. He never really found his place. He was a very muscular guy. He looked like somebody spent almost all of his free time in the gym. But like I said, he's up there and just never really seemed to connect with the audience, and you never really saw him do much except for this, which was awesome.
Well, Halloween is over for most people. Here with her review on this year's Halloween is Drunk Girl.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, you guys. This year I was Catwoman. Meow. Because all my other costumes are currently being used as evidence. What are you guys dressed as? Local news Blues Clues Blues Clues? Anyway, I thought this Halloween could have been a lot better for a lot of reasons, but then I forgot all of them, but now I remember like two of them. Number one, there should be more variety in the treats people give to you. It's always Snickers and candy corn and Reese's Pieces, peanut butter pieces. And out of all the houses I went to, not one of them gave me a grilled cheese sandwich, which is what I really wanted. No. And I gotta say something to Phil. Phil, I'm sorry I didn't come to your party, but you're gonna call myself, and make sure you call another right number. And I thought it's easy. And when they went into the thing they do and they wanted to do, bottom line, you don't even know me.
Drunk girl, everyone.
Drunk girl, everyone. All right, a couple of other little notes here. Tonight's Powerball drawing, $1 billion. Here's a set of lucky numbers you might want to try. New York has a Take 5 lottery that does it twice a day. And last Thursday, the same set of numbers hit both times. 18, 21, 30, 35, and 36. The odds of that happening were 1 in 331 billion. Shania Twain is going on tour, and she's going to play the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on June 4th. Go to her website, and there's ticket information there. Game 3 of the World Series in Philadelphia tonight. That is going to be a madhouse. Monday Night Football, Cleveland hosting Cincinnati. Late night tonight, Daniel Radcliffe. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Gwyneth Paltrow and Patton Oswalt. Jennifer Hudson. I'm with Stephen Colbert. Kerry Washington pops up with James Corden. And Seth Meyers has Ice-T. Birthdays today, Vanilla Ice. 55, Dermot Mulroney, my best friend's wedding. 59, Peter Jackson from Lord of the Rings. 61, Dan Rather is 91. And I don't know if I'm going to pull out my nun costume tonight, which I wore a couple of years ago. It seemed to be a big hit. I might pull that back out and go trick-or-treating with my 13-year-old daughter. We'll see. Either that, or I do have another idea, too. It's even more terrifying for a Halloween costume. I'm going as Matthew Perry's liver. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Monday, October 31st, 2022 is in the can. 8 days till the beginning of the end. We're here every weekday morning, right about this time. Tell your friends, please. Email me, jc at jconline.com. Facebook, I can't post anything for another 3 weeks because I'm in jail. The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We do politics here only when it is absolutely necessary.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Remember when you ran? ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow and then the days got worse and worse and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha!
So the first time you hear the concept of Halloween when you were a kid, you remember the first time you even heard about it? It's like, your brain can't even... What is this? Who's giving out candy? Someone's giving out candy? Who is giving out this candy? Everyone that we know is just giving out candy? I gotta be a part of this. Take me with you. I wanna do it. I'll do anything that they want. I can wear that. So the first couple of years, I made my own costume. They, of course, sucked. Ghost, hobo, no good. So I'm begging the parents, you gotta get me one of the ones from the store, the cardboard box, the cellophane top. So one year, third year, finally got it, Superman costume, not surprisingly. Mask included in the set. Remember the rubber band on the back of that mask? That was a quality item there, wasn't it? It was good for about 10 seconds before it snapped out of that cheap little staple they put it in there with. Thinnest gray rubber in the world. You go to your first house, trick or snap, it broke. I don't believe it.
All right, that's it. Have yourself a nice Halloween. Stay safe. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.